Well, I don't know about you, but there is something special in my heart this morning about church and the word that the Lord has put on my heart. I'm just telling, if you're here this morning, it is no accident. There are just certain things that the Lord speaks that I just say, this is a timely word. If you're here this morning, you need to hear this message more than maybe what you realize. And the fact that you're going to hear what the Lord's put in my heart, I believe, my faith, where I'm expecting, is that you are going to see fruit from the words that the Lord speaks through me today, and you are going to have fruit in such wonderful ways. You're going to see evidence of God in your life. And, I'm so happy. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1:20. I'm going to read for you at the very start this key scripture. We're going to jump into this message. We're going to pray after this. But here's what this entire message hangs on today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. One translation reads it in this way. It says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, for no matter how many promises God has made, think of all of them, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." Praise God. For all the promises of God, all of them, no matter how many they are, in him they are yes, and in him the amen is spoken. And all of this is to the glory of God. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come to you now and we say, break through every wall. Overwhelm us in this place. We've come, we've gathered in your name, Lord Jesus. You, your blood shed on that cross for each and every one of us, for all the sins of the world. And we believe, and we've come through this, Lord, into an open pathway, into your very throne room to have help in our time of need. And so, Lord, at this moment, I stand at this pulpit and I say, come like a mighty flood and overwhelm our hearts and our minds today. Speak your word to us and let our hearts be found receptive to your word. And Lord, bring forth fruit from your word today, that it would benefit not just every person here in earshot, but that it would glorify your name. That's our cry this morning, Lord. Let your word bring forth fruit in our lives to the glory of your name. Let our friends see that faith in you, Lord Jesus, is of great value. Let this city see that faith in Jesus Christ is not futile, but it's valuable. Lord, let this whole place just have the renown of Christ raised up higher. God, we give you glory today. Amen. Praise God. Well, that is such a great, great story, isn't it? What a great story. This little verse, for no matter how many promises God has made, they're all yes in him. All of them are yes in him. You know, the promises of God, they're like little seeds. They're words from the Lord. They're little seed words from the Lord that he throws at us. He casts at us. And we can receive them with great joy. And I even brought some seeds this morning. Let me see. I know they're corny, but I just have to bring them. So just imagine. Look at these little things. Look at these. These are just little seeds. These are eggs, right? Little egg seeds. These are little corny egg seeds. I like these. I like them. I like them. Those are some egg seeds. I love them. And it's the promises of God. It's like they're just so wonderful. And as he speaks them, we have opportunity for great things to happen. And there's more word. See, I'm a pastor, so I spend a lot of time reading the Bible, and I like them. And I've got a couple more that I want to. Hey, hey, hey! Ha! You! You look like my wife. You evil bird. This is not good. Did you guys read the signs as you walked in? It said, beware the bird. Beware the bird. I live with that bird. I'm telling you, there are some birds that are just bad birds. I don't like them. I really don't like them. You know, turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. I've got to share a story that involves birds. In Genesis chapter 15, we read about Abraham, who is the father of faith because he believed a promise. We've been talking about promises for a couple weeks now. If you believe a promise, it makes you special. That means you're a promise person. A person of promise. Abraham was a person of promise. And in Genesis chapter 15, it got to a time in his life where it was difficult, and he began to second guess the very promises that God had spoken to him. And I'm going to read just a little bit in verse 1. It said, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision and said, do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you, and your reward is going to be very great. The word of the Lord came to him and said, don't be afraid. Your reward is going to be very great. Do you hear in between the lines the doubt and the concern that God's promises are somehow not going to happen for him? That's exactly what's happening here. He's thinking, my reward isn't going to be great. Why is this important? He just was called upon, him and over 300 of his mighty men were called upon to come and rescue his nephew Lot, who was taken in battle. And so he comes in because the king of Sodom, everybody remember Sodom and Gomorrah, it's a place known for all kinds of wickedness and idolatry and all kinds of junk, and was consumed by the wrath of God. You know, so here he is, he comes and he rescues Lot. The king of Sodom says, I want to reward you. And he stands boldly against the king of Sodom and says, nope, I don't want anything you're going to give me, because I don't want anyone to ever even have a chance to say that you, the king of Sodom, made me great. Because I want you to know, and I want everyone else to know, that God and God alone has promised, and he's going to make me great. I don't need your money. I don't need your reward. Now, that's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? But right after that, doubt and fear came in. And the word of the Lord had to boldly confront Abraham and say, hey, do not be afraid. Your reward is going to be so much greater than what the king of Sodom could have just given you. He needed to hear this. He needed to hear this. And he goes on to talk with the Lord. He has in verse 2, Abraham says, okay, God, but what are you going to give me since I'm childless? And the very heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abraham says, since you haven't given me an offspring, a child, one born in my house as my heir, well, then look, you could just hear his frustration, can't you? And the word of the Lord comes to him and he says, this man is not going to be your heir, but one who's going to come from your own body. He's going to be your heir. And he took him outside and he said, I want you to look towards the heavens and I want you to count the stars. Something impossible, huh? And he says, if you're able to count them. And he says to him, so this is how it's going to be with your descendants. This is how many kids you're going to have. Isn't that powerful? So the word of the Lord has to come back to him and say, stop it. Now let me take you and I'm going to give you an illustration and show you. These were all the promises he'd already made to Abraham. Leave your land. I'm going to take you to a place I'm going to show you and I'm going to make you a great nation. He promised that to Abraham, but it hasn't happened yet. And it's been a long time. And he's getting older and he still doesn't have a kid. And so he's really doubting, and he had the opportunity to take the reward of earthly kings. He chose not to do it. He gets frustrated and he produces an Ishmael. He's this man is having some struggles, so God had to tell him, remember, look at the stars. Every time you see them, remember that's how many kids you're going to have. My promise is going to be true. This is powerful. And verse 6 says this, he believed. Will you say that? He believed. What do you believe this morning? What do you believe about the promises that God has spoken over your life to you? All of the promises in Christ are yes and amen. What do you believe? Have you doubted? Are you sitting here this morning and you go, yes, that's good, but you have a qualifier, but you don't know my story. You don't know my situation. You don't know where I've been or where I'm supposed to go. You don't know what the Lord has actually spoken. I don't have to know all that. I know the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord will not return void. It will produce what it is intended to produce in your life. This is powerful. It's not because I say it. And it's not even because I'm a passionate pastor and I dance around and I raise my voice. It's not because of that. My zeal doesn't make this happen. It happens because it's the word of God. And you and I have the choice. What do we believe? So Abraham in verse 6 says, I believe. And because of his belief, God looks at him and says, you are righteous. You're clothed in righteous garments. And he says to him, I'm the Lord who's brought you up out of the land of Ur, the Chaldeans' lands, and I've come to give you this land and to possess it. Verse 8, and he says, oh, Lord God, how may I know that this is going to be it? How will I know that I'm going to possess it? And he says, bring me a sacrifice. Bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old goat and a 3-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. I don't have any of those things. You don't have to have all those things. But I tell you this, bring your sacrifice of praise. Bring the fruit of your lips to give him thanks. Bring your heart. The sacrifices of God that he'll never despise are a broken and a contrite heart. You bring you and lay it before the altar of the Lord. And so he goes and he takes this. He provides the offering, the sacrifice. And then he brought all these to him and he cut them in two and he laid them just as he was supposed to. Didn't cut the birds. In verse 11, and then birds of prey came down upon the carcasses and Abraham drove them away. I don't know about you, but the Bible is not a frivolous book. Here's where I start to preach. There isn't anything in the Bible that's like accidental. Like, oops, we left one verse too many in there. We'll just ignore it. That's just pink noise, you know? Just frivolous stuff. Like, take this, but throw that out. Oh, he meant this, and this was just extra. Don't have to. There is no extra fat on the steak of God's word. Everything is edible. Everything is beneficial. So if the Bible includes what seems like a silly verse, why in the world, for thousands of years, would we have this recorded? Why would Moses spend the time writing this down? Moses wrote the first five books, okay? That's why I said that. You think, did Moses write that? Yeah, he did. He passed this on. He wrote this. So why did he include this verse? The editor would have said, what's the point? There's no plot line for birds of prey. Cut it out. We're talking about sacrifices here. God wanted that verse in there so that many, many years, many generations from that time, believers in Jesus would be gathered at a place called Visible Church, and they would hear a goofy pastor read a special verse that seems out of place that says the birds of prey came to consume the sacrifice, but Abraham fought them off. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to fight some birds. So, I'll tell you, when there's some bird fighting that needs to happen, look at this. I've got some words here. I got this one, I got that one. Don't you, I got this one over here, and I got this one over here. Oh, well, I'm going to read this one. Look at this one. This is a good one. I don't remember what this one says. This is the Word of God. Oh, this is a good word of the Lord. Luke 10:19, it says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Scorpions. And to overcome all the power of the cross. No, no, not yet. You poopy bird. You, no, 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 no. You. Oh, you. You like messed up all my eggs. You didn't steal it though. I have this one. Where's the blue one? Where's my other blue one? Oh, this one right here. Look at this. This one, man. All right, I have this one, and I have this one. Oh, you didn't get this one too. All right, I've given you authority, trample over snakes and scorpions, and overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing is going to harm me. You hear that, crow? Nothing's going to harm me. I don't know. Who needs to hear this promise of the Lord? Anybody needs Luke 10:19? Nothing's going to harm you. Anybody need this promise? Hands? Debbie does. I know. So here, you want to pass this back to that robe there? You know this stuff. You got to take your authority. Here's another one that I love too. Deuteronomy 31:8. Oh, this is good. This is another promise of God. It says, the Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Amen. Take that, crow. Look at this. This is so good. He's going to be he's gonna be with you. You know, the bird is still in the bathroom. There might be something wrong with that bird. I don't know. I just went almost on a rabbit trail there, and I better stop. Thank you, Jesus. Keep my mind focused. No distractions. All right. So he's never going to leave me or forsake me. So do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. Don't be afraid. Anybody need this promise? God always going to be. Look at this. Okay, this is good. This is good. Would you go give that to Amy over there? Amy needs that. Okay, so let me explain what's happening here, because we're not done. But it's very, very important why Abraham had to fight off these birds of prey. Because the minute the promises of God are spoken to you, the minute you have the chance, you see the seeds. Look at this mess that the birds made. If they're not stealing it, they're just messing it up. Oh, it's exactly what the Word of God teaches us. If we look in Luke chapter 8, verse 5, we get this wonderful parable about the farmer who went out and sowed the seed, the words of God. And what? As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air stole it. They ate it up. They stole it and they ate it up. I hate it. Why? Why is a bird able to steal seed? It's not planted. It's not hidden in the heart. That means when the promises of God are spoken to you, like these ones that I just gave out, they will never do you any good if it's not planted in your heart. You've got to believe it and meditate on it. Put it in your heart and hide it in there. You know, the Bible gives us great pictures of how to do this. And, you know, early on in the Old Testament, we read about this young man who was dedicated to the Lord. His mama held on to the promise that God would give her a child, and that if he would give her a child, she would give that child back to the Lord. And so Hannah got a child, and she gave that child back to the Lord. His name was Samuel. And we read in 1 Samuel 3:19, while he was still young, he was learning to hear the words of the Lord. And it says in chapter 3, verse 19 of 1 Samuel, that Samuel grew, and that the Lord was with him, and that he did not let any of the words of the Lord fall to the ground. Wow. What does that mean for you and I today? How many times have you read the Bible and thought, oh, that's a good verse? And then 5 minutes later, you forgot where that verse was even at. How many times have you pulled up your smartphone and it gave you the verse of the day and you go, whoa, YouVersion's verse of the day was rocking awesome. Honey, it was great. And if your wife says, well, where is that verse found? You go, I don't know. And then you spend 10 minutes trying to find it back on your phone. That seed on the ground. That seed falling on the side of the road. It's getting trampled by your day, by your distractions, by all this stuff. And you know what? The birds of the enemy, crows, just like what we've seen, come and steal that and eat it up. That seed from God that should have been in your heart. Should have been in your heart, but instead of doing what Deuteronomy teaches us, tie that word on your mind, tie it on your hand, hide it in your heart. Instead of like what Psalms 119 says, hide the word in your heart so you never sin against God. You don't miss a mark. Instead of doing that, we don't hide it. We don't remember it. We don't memorize it. We don't chew on it like a cow chews cud all day long. You know what? You should be, though. You should take, you don't need all of the Bible every day. You just need one good chunk of the Bible and chew on it. And that one little morsel will be just like the prophet's special angel food that will give you strength to outrun chariots. You don't need a new book of self-helps with 50,000 verses. You just need one that you actually remember. That will protect you from having the seeds and the promises of God being stolen. You know what? Let's go on a rampage against the birds. Let's stop the birds from stealing the seed promises of God. Hide them in your heart. Will you do that, church? Will you take the promises of God today and hide them in your heart? Wow. You saw right here, look at this mess. Look at this mess. So say we start hiding the word of God in the heart and the bird can't successfully steal or eat the word that is given to us. What else do they do? Look at this. Look at this. They contaminate. They contaminate. That's what birds do. I read this story. This is out of Snellville. There's a town called Snellville. I'd move. That's what I would do. I don't know. Snellville residents were having this problem. This is down south near Atlanta, I guess. I think. And so these Snellville residents were having a problem with Canadian geese. You know where this is going. So this little community, they had a master plan with some nice little ponds and some stuff like this. And the geese just found it. And the geese kept coming back, and the geese just loved it. And the geese overtook the entire little community. So much so that kids couldn't go out and play in their backyards. People couldn't do anything without going through. You know exactly what it is. See, you guys are smart. You put one and two together and came up with, goose poo. That's what she's just thinking about. It was everywhere. They dirtied everything. Can you imagine? Just go up to the reforestation camp, to the new zoo area, and just look at what all those geese do. Nasty. It's horrible, isn't it? Can you imagine just relaxing on your nice lawn, surrounded by goose poo? It just kind of messes everything up, doesn't it? And see, this is what the birds do. And you've got to drive them off, because if you don't drive them off, your sacrifice will be corrupted. The words of God will be corrupted and mixed and tainted. And I look at this, and there's so much that the Bible says about this. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about how the words of God, the very gospel message, the good news, chapter 4, verse 2, didn't profit people because it wasn't mixed with faith. They heard it, but it didn't mix with faith, and they didn't believe it. It was mixed with other things, and so it didn't profit them. It was mixed with legalism. That's what it was mixed with. And many people don't have the promises of God because they're so mixed up with works mentality. Like you somehow have to earn everything in God's economy. That is such a lie. Are works a part of healthy Christianity? Yes. The Bible says, if you think you can live for Christ and not have good works, you're an idiot. But if you think you can only have good works and get into heaven, you're a bigger idiot. Why? Because you're not even reading the scripture. And so there's a mixture, and some people didn't profit from the gospel because they didn't have the pure gospel.
In James chapter 1, 19 through 25, it says this. It is so good. It says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Every one of you should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because a man's anger doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires. Verse 21 of chapter 1. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word of God planted in you, which can save you. Wow. Don't merely listen to the promises, the word of God, and deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do what it says. Man. You know, I find it amazing that the scheming of the enemy, I'm exposing all of his schemes today. One, tries to steal. Two, he tries to corrupt it and mess it up. And here's how it does. I just read those two verses. If he can't corrupt the word of God and cause doubt and cause you to mix it with half-truths, which are full lies, and all that junk, if he can't corrupt the promise, he's going to corrupt you. He's going to corrupt. He's going to try. And I'm amazed at how good Christian people who are very pure and upright, righteous folks, they're living right for God, but they have mixed some element of Scripture with a half-truth, and it causes trouble in their life. And they have pain that is needless. They shouldn't have that pain, but they have it there because the promise was corrupted. They're believing half-truths. Does that have, anybody know what I'm talking about? Where you almost, if you're a fellow friend or a believer, and you're scratching your head going, well, who told you that? That's crazy. And it's not just believers, but it's sometimes the things you see in people that haven't come to faith. They're seeking God. They're wanting to know. And then they share with you some of the things they believe, and you scratch your head and go, that's not in the Bible. Where did you hear that?
Well, isn't that in the Bible?
No, that's not in the Bible. I've had to say that with people seeking God often.
Well, that's not in the Bible.
Really?
No, it's not in the Bible.
And then you share with them the truth, and they go, wow, really? That's because Satan wants to corrupt the promise, the very gospel message. But in your life, if he can't do that, then he will corrupt you. The promise will still come to pass, but you will be diminished in your enjoyment of it. Do you believe me? Ask Moses. Ask Moses. Get rid of anger. It corrupts. What would Moses do if he could rewind the clock and instead of striking the rock and bringing out water, he would do what God told him to do, which was speak to the rock and bring forth water? That's all he did different. God said the second time, speak to that rock, just speak. And he hit it instead. That's because the first time he did it, he was able to hit it and the water came out. So this time, what? He took matters in his own hand. This is the staff of God. I am just the leader. Rah, rah. You said speak. I'm so angry. I'm going to show you how angry. Whack! And he hits the rock. And you know what? God, in his promise to provide for the Israelites, fulfilled the promise to the Israelites. And then he looks at Moses, who disobeyed him in that one thing, and he said, I'm still going to have you lead him to the edge of the promised land, but you yourself will not go in. You yourself will not go in. You're going to see it from the mountaintop, but you're not going to live in it. And that was all tied to the fact he didn't refrain from venting his anger. So, let me ask you, good Christian, come on. Do you really want the promises of God? Then you're going to have to fight off the birds in your life. You're going to have to live an upright life. Now, that doesn't mean that you can get into heaven because you're more and more holy. Don't play that game. But this does mean you can't tolerate compromise in your life that you know the Holy Spirit is saying deal with. Some of you still listen to junky music, watch junk on TV. You have a filthy mouth. You lose your temper and you make excuses for it. You've been doing it for 20 years and you say you're saved for 20 years. When are you going to stop? And you're still mad at the Lord because you're not enjoying the promises of God. You have no footing. You have no ground to stand on. Stop playing games with God. He's not playing games with you. Every one of his promises are true. Just be honest. You don't have to be perfect, but you do have to have progress. Hear that. Some of you need to hear that. The gospel is not a gospel of be perfect. The gospel is a gospel of pick up your cross and follow. Big difference, isn't it? Very painful. Believe me, I wish I could skip so much in the Bible. If I would definitely publish a Cliff Notes version of the Bible and skip everything that involves sacrifice and obedience and conforming to Him and all that, I would just skip it all. I would leave out Gethsemane, none of the crying blood. I would leave out, all of that, none of it. I wouldn't want all of it. But I would leave all of the heaven, no tears, healing. I would leave all that in because I'm a chicken. I don't like pain. I don't like all that junk. But you know what? One of the promises of God is that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that was in the context of a persecuted church. Oh, man. So some of the things we've got to fight off is our own carnal nature. Church, never give up fighting that fight. It's always going to be there until you die and go to heaven. You're going to have this inner voice that says, yeah. Whatever. And you got to say, shut up. Stop that. And you got to build muscles. Run those things off. And you got to try and work hard. It's really what it's just what it takes. Amen. Oh, but you know what? That's just two of the methods that the Lord tries to teach us about in Scripture. The enemy comes to steal it, but we got to hide it in our heart. Amen. And the enemy comes to corrupt either the Word of God and cast doubt to it. Did he really say? Or he corrupts you, so you miss out. But we're going to raise up a standard against him. Amen? But there's more promises to the Lord that the Lord has given us, and I love them. I love them. In fact, there's so many. Here, there are so many good promises. How do I got to clear this off here. Now you guys know where I shop. Look at that. There's some good promises here. Some good promises here. And, oh, look at that. Look at this. I like this. I like this. You can't touch any of this. And you can't touch me. This is... this is some good stuff, but you can't have any of this, right? Nothing. All right. Here it is. You're going away. I'm getting the word right now, and you are leaving. Look at this. And God's going to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. That's ninja skills right now. You better run, girl. I might need some help here. That's where the Bible comes in. That's it. Go, woman, you going out. That's it. I think I actually worked up a sweat. I've been eating too many cookies. Lord, I'm going to supply all my... Got some more somewhere. Look at that. There's some good Bible verses here. Look at this. This is a good one. Oh, shut up. Shh. Stop it. Quiet. I'm not allowed to say that word. Mostly at home, I can't say that word. But stop it. Stop it. You go. Get out of here. Go. This is getting silly. Stop this. Okay, the skit is over. Stop. Girl doesn't understand improv at all. Says in Proverbs 11:25 that a generous man is going to prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Who needs to be refreshed financially? Who needs to be refreshed spiritually? Look at this.
He who refreshes others is going to be refreshed. You just got a seed chunk there too. Who needs this promise? Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Who needs this kind of a promise? You got that? Look at that. Yes. There's so much good. Now you see all the filth around here. Here's the last thing. The enemy, if he can't steal it, because you've hide it, you hide it in your heart. If the enemy can't contaminate it and corrupt it with weird half-truths and all the dirt and the junk and the defilement of this world in your life, and how do you get undefiled? Soak in the water. Soak in the presence, worship, meditate, let the word of God wash your heart and your mind. Worship the Lord until all that junk is just washed off. And so you can't, you're staying pure. If he's tried those two things, then I'm going to tell you the very last ditch effort. The Hail Mary of the enemy is to oppose and resist you at all costs. So that when you stand and hold the word of God, the enemy will do everything in its power to put up this great mirage to say, yeah, you might think it's true, but it's not going to happen. And you can try, but you're just a man. You're just a woman. It's not going to happen. And everything your earthly eyes will not see necessarily the things of God, because the carnal mind is hostile to the things of God. Our earthly mind doesn't understand the things of God except by the Spirit of God. But if you walk in the Spirit and stay in step with the Spirit, you will, by the Spirit's power, see what God is wanting you to see, and you will be able to look past every one of the scheming, every one of the false mirages of obstacles in your path, and you will begin to say, I can acknowledge reality. Yes. This is the way it is on earth. But I'm a child of God. And as a child of God, I can stand on the word of God. And as it is in heaven, so it's going to be right here on earth. That means let it be right here as it is in heaven. That means legally, Satan, you have no power here. And you know, the funny thing is in heaven, there is no more warfare. There is no more warfare. You need to realize that. The battle's already been won. There is no war in the heavenlies right now. He has already been defeated. The enemy of our souls are already been defeated on that cross. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose from the dead victorious and took a seat on a throne. This is the reality we live in. So that means every enemy, the last of those enemies was death. Every one of them has been defeated. So sickness, disease, poverty, oppression, mental aggressions, and all kinds of stuff. Things that ill society from left to right and all the other junk. It's not education that's the problem. It's a heart problem. God has done everything already to cure the heart. And I look at this and I think, so the last thing we've got to do, church, is stand your ground. The Bible says resist. It doesn't say punch the enemy. Because that's useless. You can't punch a spirit. You can't punch the devil. And truth be told, the devil's not omnipresent. There's only one of them. Don't give him too much credit. If he's pestering Jeff, he's not at my house. You get that? So you don't have to say the devil did it. No, he's way too busy with someone else probably. Okay, don't give him that much credit. Now, all the spiritual forces that are in this dark world that control all kinds of junk, just consider them little peons, little nothings. The big guy's already been defeated. He's a toothless lion. His only attack tool is to roar. He can never bite you. That's amazing, isn't it? And so all the other little minions, it's not like they're uniform and united in the kingdom of darkness. They hate each other too. They not only hate us, but they hate each other. It's all falling apart. They are totally divided against themselves. They've already been defeated. They're just waiting for their final judgment. And in the meantime, they just make a big show of it like this bird did. And so you and I, after you've done everything that you can to hold on to the promises, you stand firm. Resist the enemy, and he will flee.
That's what the Bible teaches. And then you just wait on the Lord. Why? You can't make the promise happen. You wait on the Lord. You wait on the Lord and keep renewing your strength until. That takes discipline and that takes commitment, doesn't it? It takes a continual reserve of the Holy Spirit to be filled every day. Filled every day. Ephesians tells us to be filled with the Spirit continually. So keep praying in the Spirit. Grow in your faith. Jude 20 says, pray in the Spirit so your faith increases. See, the problem isn't that you don't know what to resist or to stand on. The problem is you don't have strong faith yet. Petrea and I were talking about this message around the dinner table this last week. And she was saying, so how do we, what do we do? If we know what to do, well, what do? I say, start small, grow big. It's like, that's what we do. Rehearse all of the battles that you've won before. Keep winning those battles. You know, you might have had a little scrimmage, but then one day you got a real weapon. And you fought with that and overcame an enemy, but it was just a small one. But God keeps bringing testing and trials to refine your faith so you grow. You never jump from point A all the way to point Z. Grow in proportion to your faith where it's at right now. You stand strong. Where you feel too weak, that's where you call in support. Other brothers and sisters, agree in prayer. Call in on God. He's there to help you at every moment. And you can just say, I don't get it. I don't even know the verse I should quote. You do something. And he does. He does. I'll tell you a story about this. Some of you have heard this. We were, I told you last week about the promise that God was going to provide and everything we do would be flourishing. And we bought this old mansion and we started to rehab it. In the midst of this, all kinds of attacks came on us. One was from somebody we didn't know. They didn't like whoever bought the mansion, bought this little mansion and was redoing it. And so one day I was up in the third floor and I was looking out and I saw this group of gangsters. All these gangbangers. You could tell they were gangsters. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I want you to go down and talk to him and give him a job. And I rebuked the Spirit of God. I said, no, that's not what I'm going to do. And you guys laugh because you've been there too. The Lord said something to you and you went, no, that's not what I'm going to do. You're going to have to do better, God. And he never changed his mind. That's the other ugly side of I am God and I changeth not. He's like, he doesn't change his mind. And you will have to change yours. So he kept telling me, give him a job. I said, no. And I kept saying, like Gideon with the fleas, okay, if they come back by, I'll go down. These guys must have had nothing else to do that day but walk in front of my house. And so finally, I surrendered. I went down, and I made the worst sales pitch ever. I said, guys, I'd like to hire all of you to fill up a big 30-yard dumpster. I don't have gloves. I have no equipment, and it's ugly stuff. There's probably asbestos. You might die of lung cancer, but it's your job if you want it, you know? And they all went, yeah, that'd be great. And I went, all right, that's crazy. And they said, we have our own gloves and equipment. We'll run home, and we'll run right back. And I'm going, this is insane. And I walk back in the house. About 30 minutes later, these gangsters are coming back to my house with smiles on their face, and they're laughing, and they're just giddy. And I said, you guys okay? And they said, yeah. Hey, we got to share something that just happened while we're walking back up to your place. I said, really? I said, yeah. I said, what? He said, this big black Escalade pulls up. Mm-hmm. We was in the hood, you know. Had some nice rims, low profile tires. Anyway, and the big black Escalade, tinted windows, pulls up. They may have thought there was going to be a deal or something. Window rolls down, is this overweight white lady. They're like, what? She an angry white lady. There are some. There are some angry white ladies out there in the world. I'm telling you. And this angry white lady said, where y'all going? And they said, oh, we're going somewhere. We're going over to this house over here. And they go, see that little mansion right there? And they said, yeah. And she goes, I'll give you $100 if you go sabotage that place tonight. She says, I'll pay you $100 if you go sabotage that place. And they look at her and they look at each other and they smile real big and they say, white lady, get on out of here. We work for that man. We ain't going to do nothing to harm that man. And she leaves. And they had to tell me about this. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow. And my general contractor there was there, Bus. He hears the whole thing. He's a man of few words. He just folds his arm, does this, and goes, Because he heard the struggle I had all this time. I even told him, man, this is crazy. I'm hiring these guys. They're probably going to steal all our tools and make our life miserable. I told him all this. And then as they share all this, he just goes. And now I'm walking back. I'm going, God, you got a sense of humor with this dense man. You are so long-suffering and kind to just be persistent with me. See, God, when you resist the enemy and you hold fast your ground, you don't have to have all understanding and wisdom. He is always there to get your back. Even when you aren't smart enough or strong enough in your faith, he's still going to be there. So this message applies to you if you're just starting out in faith. And it also applies if you've been walking with God all your life. Because now, if you've been saved for a long time, you should be able to fight giants. You should be a giant killer. You should be a giant killer that says, oh, is there a threat? Back off, everybody. Watch how God does this. And you go after the enemy. And it's not in your own strength because you know it's not you. It's God working through you. It's actually his word you're standing on. It's not your prowess, your smarts, and all that. Praise God. So, what do we do with a message like this? Well, I stop preaching. That's what we do with this. And we say yes and amen to it. The verse that I read at the very beginning, I believe is 100% true for you guys today. And true for me. Last verse I want to read with you comes from Matthew 11, 12. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. And forceful men lay hold of it. Don't think fighting in your own strength. Think of the woman with the issue of blood that presses through the crowd to touch the hem. That's forceful. Think of the person who hears the promise of God, but hasn't seen it for decade upon decade upon decade, but they still hold that verse no matter what is happening in the natural. That's forceful. It's the preacher who says, I'm going to preach the word no matter what itching ears say. I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to be instant in season and out of season no matter what the season is. That's forceful. It's you sitting in this room now and saying, I am going to be like Abraham and dare to believe. I want you to open up your Bible from here on differently than you've ever opened it up before. That every time you open it, I want you to be looking for these little seeds, these promises that God speaks to you personally. God never put in 1 Corinthians, he never put a qualifier that says to some the promises and to others these promises. He says, if you're in Christ, all of them, no matter how many they are yes and amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. You know, this is funny. I don't think this is an altar call or anything for everyone, but I'm just telling you, this is what I sense in my spirit, that the Lord said, there's somebody in the room that has almost in feebleness held on to this promise that greater things than these you're going to do. That somebody, who's that? Come on down. I just, you know, the Lord said that to me. He said, there's someone here. You know, I thank you for being so bold because you've been holding on to that promise. And the reason that you're here this morning is it's not you. It's God through you. And in the name of Jesus, we're going to agree with the very words of God. You're going to see things you couldn't even imagine. The time is so near. I'm just telling you, have no fear. The time is very near for the Lord to show up mighty. He's going to show up mighty. He's going to get a ton of glory. And there are going to be such great things that you're going to be able to witness. Bill, Sarah, would you come join me in prayer? Trish, come join me in prayer. And right now, we're just going to pray for you. Father, We look to you in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father God, for all of your promises this morning that are yes and amen. And every single one of them that apply to this dear sister in the Lord, I say in Jesus' name, a greater endowment of the Holy Spirit to just flow in Jesus' name. A greater flow of the Holy Spirit and empower. More signs, miracles, wonders, breakthroughs, healings, things that are unexplainable except God. Lord, I pray that those things are released in Jesus' name. Let your Holy Spirit now just breathe right through her. Thank you, Jesus. We seal it in Jesus' name. You receive that? So, man, I'm telling you, church, I don't know what it is, but, you know, the Lord starts showing up, and I get weak in the knees, and I just start to feel like I can't hardly preach. I feel intoxicated. Oh, man. God is good. The Lord just stirred in me. You know, the faith, when someone is faithful to the Lord, not perfect, faithful to the Lord, faithful to his word, he says in his word, he says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As I just said that, the Lord said, they don't believe they're a righteous man. I'm going to challenge some of you in this room right now. There are people in this room that have a hard time viewing themselves as righteous. You know exactly who you are because you're struggling with it right now as I said it. If the Lord calls you righteous, you are righteous. Now here's the thing that has been a weight to you. You have been carrying the weight, doubting that you're righteous in Christ, and it has hindered your prayers. Your prayers have not been as effective because you have carried that mixture in unbelief. And you're going to drive that bird away today, and you're going to stand in the righteousness of Christ. It's not your own righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. Now, my challenge to you is this. If that is you, I want you to drive those beers. Drive. I can't even talk right. You might need to drive the beers away too, but you're going to drive the birds away of doubt and unbelief. And you're going to take a step of faith in front of everybody because that's part of the struggle for you. You feel it's proud or arrogant to say, I'm righteous in Christ. You're going to defeat an enemy today. So, if you struggled with that, viewing yourself as a righteous man or a woman in God, I want you to leave your chair and I want you to come right down here. Don't hesitate. There's no shame in it either. It's tough. There is no shame or condemnation in God, is there? What it is the enemy is angry now. He's angry. How dare you accept the word of God that says you're made righteous in Christ? How dare you accept that? He feels the threat right now. He is totally freaking out because he now sees people who says, you will no longer use this to hold me back from being effective in my prayer. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now, the reason I believe this is happening is this is a God thing. This isn't my brain. I believe this is God. If you're here right now at this, you're here because there's someone that you need to pray for divine healing. There's someone here, someone in your life that you are standing and praying for in divine healing. It's a mountain, something. Does that make sense? And if that's not you, that's okay. I could miss it in part, maybe not be everybody, but I'm just telling you, that's what I'm sensing in my heart. Praise you, Jesus. So let's do this. We're not going to pray for whatever it is those prayer concerns are now. You're going to pray for that. But what I'm going to pray for is for the Lord to complete everything He is doing in just this moment. Let me have my prayer team and those people come and just join us. And here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to pray over you. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to sense a fresh armor in your life. You're going to be clothed in an armor of righteousness. I want you to hear that. You're going to be clothed in an armor of righteousness. Your prayers, they're going to have such a great effect because you're going to be walking in that armor of righteousness every single day. Praise you, God. Every single doubt, you're going to have to turn your back on it. So that's what you did when you came down here. You turned your back on every one of the doubts and lies that have attacked that righteousness in Christ. And so in Jesus' name, we receive a righteousness in Christ. Lord, right now, an armor on these men. These are mighty men. Mighty men. And let this breastplate of righteousness guard this heart in Jesus' name. Every arrow of the enemy can't penetrate this lung. Lord, every attack of the enemy is thwarted because of this shield of righteousness that is guarding them. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Every ounce of their life guarded. Praise you, God, for a righteousness in Christ. Hallelujah, Lord. This righteousness is strong. Hallelujah, Lord. It's a light. Praise you, Jesus, right now. No more doubts about the righteousness. No more hesitancies. Lord, an efficacy, a power in prayer right now because of righteousness. In Jesus' name, Lord, right now, thank you. Thank you, God, for a strength. Thank you for fresh strength in the fight. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, God. Oh, church, would you just say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, God. Celebrate the seeds of promise that the Lord speaks to you in a service. Every time you meet with the Lord, church, do not underestimate the words of the Lord. You don't have to trust me, trust God. Whatever is not of God is going to fall apart, but whatever is of God, test it, let the Spirit be proven. It is good and it will produce great fruit. So hold fast to that. Celebrate it. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that what was before today is not the same thing. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Man, I just see, where's Rebecca's mom right now? I can't get you out of my head. Where are you at? Come here, honey. Come here, honey. I just feel like the Lord loves you so much. And I feel like the Lord wants to speak encouragement into your life. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm just saying I feel the birds of discouragement have been circling around you. And in Jesus' name, we're going to move all those discouraging things away. I don't even know if that's true. Is that something that that you've been struggling with recently? Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. Why would God reveal this? Not to embarrass any of us, not to embarrass you. So please don't feel that. I feel like the Holy Spirit highlights that for one reason, His great love for you. And the fact that when He exposes the plans of the enemy and the discouragement that has come, you don't have to do one thing. I just feel like your hands are so weary fighting that. You don't need to do one thing. You don't need to do one thing. This is not your battle. This is the Lord's battle. He's going to fight something for you. You don't have to lift one finger. You don't have to do one thing. But in Jesus' name, we're going to see victory in this area. What has been difficult and discouraging to you, what's been a weight to your heart and to your mind, the Lord is going to lift that burden. He's a burden lifter. He's a carrier of that burden. And so I'm going to speak to that burden in Jesus' name. Burden, Every discouraging weight that has been on this heart and this mind, you've been exposed by the enemy, or been exposed by God right now. And those enemy's lies and the enemy's discouragement has no more power in the light. It's all been exposed. It's all been uncovered. And so in Jesus' name, every discouraging thing, I declare, lifted off of this mind, lifted off of this heart, every weight, every encumbrance is gone in Jesus' name. Place, I declare refreshing, a refreshing of this heart, a refreshing of hope. Lord, pour fresh hope into this heart right now, fresh hope into this mind. Thank you, Jesus, for fresh hope right now. Oh, I give you permission to hope big. Hope big. What you haven't seen, you're going to see. What's been promised but hasn't happened, you're going to see happen. You can hope again. Oh, Lord, right now, thank you for removing everything that's been a discouragement. Oh, and I thank you for fresh healing. Lord, and every battle has been won. Oh, these weary things, they're not weary anymore. There's going to be fresh relief. In Jesus' name. Lord, just giving you vacation. Amen. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Oh, church, well, I don't want to hold you all day long, but I do know that if there is something that you need in Jesus, this is the house of God, right? And the house of God is filled with bread. It's filled with the Holy Spirit. Drink deeply of the Holy Spirit and eat as much of the bread of Christ as you possibly can when you're in His house. So if you've come and you need something in Jesus' name, we have prayer team down here. We got people that love you. Many of you are friends and family just here every day. Some of you are visiting. Don't come all the time. But if you're here and you need something, don't leave until you've met with the Lord. And so us as a prayer team, we'll stay as long as you want us to. But everybody else, I'm going to just bless you. Father, bless every single one that's here. Let them go in the grace and the peace that comes from being with you. Lord, thank you so much for your strength. And thank you so much for all that you do. And I just bless each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, go have a great day. We'll see you on Wednesday. And bid on some cakes.